So you may be thinking, Kent, what in the world are you doing preaching to us from in a car? Let me tell you what I'm doing. Last night for me was Friday night. It is two nights ago for you. But my wife was supposed to get on a plane and go to Kansas to be in Kansas for this family get together. And as she got close to getting ready to go to the Lexington airport, we found out that her flight had been canceled. And so we had a choice to make. I could tell that it had crushed my wife's heart. She was really looking forward to this. Literally hasn't seen her family for nearly a year. We missed Christmas last year because of COVID. And so I just turned to her. I made some phone calls to some guys in our leadership. And I said, hey, is there a way that I could potentially not be there Sunday? I know I've been gone because of July. But I think it would be a huge, huge investment in the heart of my wife. And those guys, so good, said, yeah, go, let's figure this out. And so this is what I figured out. I'm going to preach to you from my car. Here's what I need from you. Will you just pretend like this is real? Will you just pretend like, I am actually in the room and I'm not just a floating head on a screen, but I'm actually sitting there with you? Because I'm going to tell you, I'm going to preach my heart out. There may be cars drive by, may even be people pull up and walk in and wave at me or whatever. I don't know. But what I want you to do is if you would just pretend like we're in the same room and I'm preaching my heart out to you, because I'm going to tell you, I want to preach my heart out to you, because what I have prepared today is a message that I hope really impacts your life. So will you guys bow your heads with me and let's pray. Father, I just pray right now for this message. I pray for those who are in the room. I know this is a weird setup, but I pray, God, that this would be, that you would use it. I know that you have the power to use it and you have the ability to use it. And God, I just pray that, you would take all the tiredness out of me. You know, I've been up for like 28 hours or something like that. And I just pray that God, right now, I'd be able to preach with all your heart, and that your spirit would enter into this, and that God, you would enter into that room and that you would change and touch lives today. I love you, Jesus. I'm so thankful for you. And I'm thankful that you love us and that you don't care what it takes, that you'll use anything to reach us. It's in your name that I pray, Jesus. Amen. So years ago, my wife, Jenny, had this surgery. It was kind of a big deal kind of surgery, and everything had seemed to go okay until like the following days after the surgery. She started to kind of feel sick. She would get dizzy when she would stand up. I remember at one point, she was getting out of the bed and she fell down, and I came running in there because she had screamed for me, and I thought, man, literally, I thought, my wife is dying. I thought it was over. It was a scary, scary moment for me. And if you've ever lived through anything like that, you know how scary those moments really can be. And so I took my wife. I said, we need to call the doctor right now. We called, we got in, they started just running, you know, test after test after test. And, I can remember sitting in the doctor's office and there was just that quiet that comes over those moments. You know what I mean? Where like neither of you are talking, but both of you are thinking all the same things. And my heart was just like beating a million miles an hour inside of my chest. And, we're sitting there and I remember the door creaking open and the doctor coming in, and she has kind of the somber look on her face. And, man, my heart just dropped. The doctor sat down in the chair in front of us and she said, I have some news for you guys. And, I was ready for it. I prepared myself, and the doctor looked down at her notes, and then she looked back up and she said, you're pregnant. I literally thought I was going to have a heart attack, man. I was like, come on, lady. Like, what are you pregnant? How could that be? Because here's what I know that you don't know. I know that my wife had just taken a pregnancy test in order to have the surgery, and the pregnancy test had come up a negative. And it turns out it was a false negative. She was actually pregnant. And that's where our daughter Piper came from. That was her inside of there. We called her Pistachio Coke. She's a great little baby, but it was like that birth announcement. It will be something I never forget, that moment that Piper was announced to us and she was told that she was coming into the world. And here's the deal. As crazy as that announcement was, going from thinking my wife is dying to celebrating this child coming into the world, it is nothing compared to the announcement of Jesus's birth. if I could, I would like to read this to you. And if I could just ask you to do me a favor, what we're going to do today is we're going to jump into the birth narrative of Jesus, where his birth is announced to Mary. And then we're going to go way back in time, back to the book of Daniel, and then we're going to come back to Mary, and then I want to apply it into your life. But if I could ask you to just do one thing for me, I would ask you to do this. I would ask you to take everything that you know about this and throw it out the window. Come to it with fresh eyes. Listen to it. Let it shock you. Let it move you. Let it challenge you. Listen to this birth narrative. This is from Luke chapter 1, verse 26 through 38. If you want to open your Bibles there, you can get open to this. It's Luke chapter 1, verses 26 through 38. And I'm just going to read and kind of stop as I go. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy. Now, we're going to talk in a few weeks about Elizabeth. She is the mother of John the Baptist. And so we're going to get to that in a little bit, but she is 6 months along with John the Baptist at this point. Listen to what happens. So Luke is giving that to us as kind of context of when all this happens in Mary's life. He says this: God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. Did you gather that the person that comes to Mary is an angel named Gabriel? Now, what's really important about that is this is not the first time that Gabriel is actually mentioned in the Bible. He's mentioned when the announcement comes about John's birth, John the Baptist's birth. And there's one other time where Gabriel's mentioned in the Bible. It's actually in about 538 BC that the angel Gabriel appears to Daniel and he gives him this crazy prophecy. And I want to read it to you because here's what's happening is Daniel is probably in his 80s at this point. He's an old man. He has been in captivity. He was a young man who had been swept off by the Babylonians and taken captive by them. And for the last almost 70 years, Daniel has lived in captivity. He has not been back to his homeland. Some of you, I have friends that have come from other countries and they haven't been back to their homelands for a long time. They dream of it. They long to go back. And Daniel is one of those people. He hasn't been to Israel for a long, long time. As a matter of fact, he's in his 80s and close to the end of his life. And this is what happens. Daniel has been praying. He's been praying this prayer of repentance because Daniel remembers that Jeremiah had prophesied that there would be 70 years that the Israelites would be in captivity in Babylon. And this is what happens. He's been praying. Daniel chapter 9, verse 20 through 22. Listen to this. It says, while I was speaking and praying, confessing my sin and the sin of my people Israel. So Daniel realizes, he realizes that Jeremiah had prophesied they would only be in Babylon for 70 years, and he starts to pray and he starts to repent, and he's going to God and he's saying, God, I know that we were wrong. God, I know that we failed you. God, I know, take us back, bring us back. He says, while I was speaking and praying, confessing my sin, the sin of my people Israel, and making my requests to the Lord my God for his holy hill, while I was still in prayer, listen, Gabriel, the man I had seen in the earlier vision, came to me in swift flight about the time of the evening sacrifice. He instructed me and said to me, so this is, it's evening time. This angel comes to him in this vision and he instructs Daniel this. He says, Daniel, I have come now to give you insight and understanding. The message that Gabriel will give to Daniel is almost universally accepted as pertaining to the coming of the Messiah. People don't agree exactly about how the message makes sense, like how every little dot lines up and how everything connects together. But what they all agree on is that the message that Gabriel gives Daniel 530 years before Jesus comes into the world is that it is a message about the coming of the Messiah into the world. And now 530 years later, we have Gabriel coming to Mary. And what is she foretelling? What is he foretelling? He's foretelling the birth of the Messiah, that he will come, he will live, he will die, he will give his life. And then he speaks. Listen, the angel, this is back in Luke. The angel went to her and said, greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you. Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, Do not be afraid, Mary. You found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end. I don't know if you have ever received shocking news like that, like this virgin who has never been with child is going to now be with child, that the Spirit is going to come upon her, that she has found favor, that God is going to bring together all of these things inside of this child that is hers. Did you know that the Hebrew name for Jesus is not Jesus? That is a kind of an Englishized version of the Hebrew. The Hebrew is actually Yeshua. And Yeshua means salvation. God will save. That's what Yeshua means. Jesus' name. Inside of his name in the Hebrew is captured what he's going to do. He's going to bring salvation to me and to you. So much of this proclamation is so powerful that he would sit on David's throne. David's throne is, God had prophesied to David that he would have his descendants would sit on his throne forever, that the throne would never be taken away from him. And this is the coming Messiah, what they've been waiting for, the Jewish people have been waiting for, is one of David's descendants who would reign again on the throne. Gabriel prophesies that. He says he would be the Son of the Most High God, a title for God. He would reign over Jacob and his kingdom would never end. And here's what I want you to get. Here's what I want you to get. You all know this stuff. You know this story about Jesus. You've heard it since you were a little kid. Even if you haven't gone to church for a long time, you know this story, right? And it all makes sense. You know that Jesus will die. He'll raise to life. That his kingdom is one that exists only inside of humans, not in some particular land. But I want you to get this. Mary didn't know that. Mary didn't know that. Mary didn't know that Jesus was going to raise up and that someday he was going to be put on trial and he was going to be marched all over Jerusalem. That they were going to beat him, that they were going to whip him, that they were going to pound nails into his fist. She didn't know any of that. She didn't know that he was going to die on a cross and that he would be abandoned by almost everybody that he knew. She didn't know any of that. Mary didn't know the end of the story. All Mary knew is that she was in the middle of this moment with this crazy thing happening around her, an angel speaking these crazy words over her, telling her a crazy story about what her life was going to be like. Would have blown you away, wouldn't it? I want you to listen to how Mary responds to this. How will this be? Mary asked the angel, since I'm a virgin. The angel answered, the Holy Spirit will come on you and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. The Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age. She who is said to be unable to conceive is in her sixth month, for no word from God will ever fail. Did you hear that? No word from God will ever fail. He will not fail you. And here's Mary's response. If we could just all have this kind of response to God and his call to us. She said, I am the Lord's servant. I'm the Lord's servant. May your word to me be fulfilled. And then the angel left her. He just left her. I have stood this summer when I went to Israel. I hope that you guys will all consider going on our trip to Israel in July of 2024. It is going to blow your minds to actually step into the land that the Bible, these stories come from. And so I literally am in the town of Nazareth and there's this church. It's a beautiful church that's built up, like beautiful mosaics all around, just gorgeous. But in the center of this church is this thing that feels completely out of place, because in the center of the church is just this hard bedrock of a cave. And what this bedrock of the cave is an old house in Nazareth. Because you see, Nazareth was a pretty small town. Maybe only a few hundred people lived there. And most of them lived inside of caves. Like they would actually dig their houses out, or there were existing caves, and they'd maybe widen them and make them a little bit bigger. And they lived inside of these caves, which makes sense. Caves, they're always cool and they're always warm, right? They're warm when you need them to be warm. They're cool when you need them to be cool. Makes a ton of sense. And so here's this cave, and the reason this cave is in the center of this beautiful church, and it's so incongruous with everything else around it. The reason for that is because this cave is believed to be the cave that Mary lived in, where this angel appeared to her and he announced that a savior was going to be born and his name would be Yeshua, salvation. Here's what I want you to get. Mary didn't know the end of the story. Mary is just this girl. She's just this young woman. And she's sitting there. And what does she say to this angel in this cave that is just this little blip on a map? What does she say? She says, I am the Lord's servant. Do you remember at the beginning of this sermon, like before I got on and told you about how I've been driving all night, and like, I hope that this message is making sense because I'm super tired right now, that we read a passage, you heard a video of a passage from Isaiah 53. Do you remember that? At the very beginning of that passage, can I just read it to you? At the very beginning of it, listen to this. This is what it says, Isaiah 53:1. This is Isaiah speaking hundreds and hundreds of years before Jesus will come into this world. And this passage, Isaiah 53, you should go home and read it. It is such a powerful story of who Jesus is. You can see him right then and there. But I want to read just the very beginning of it. Listen to this, Isaiah 53:1. Who has believed our message? Who has believed? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? Who? Who has seen it? Who has it been revealed to? Who is the one that believed it? You know who believed it? A young woman in a tiny town believed it. She was a nothing, a nobody. She would have been literally just a blip on the radar in time and history if it hadn't have been for this moment where she said, I am the Lord's servant. She says, I am in. And that changed everything. It changed everything. There's a reason that God chose Mary and Joseph. The reason God chose them so that they could be the ones that believed the message that the arm of the Lord was revealed to. It's because they were willing to actually step into it without knowing the end of the story. What about you? Years ago when I was a youth pastor, I had taken all these kids on this leadership retreat, and these were all the leaders in my youth group, and we did things like trust falls, and we went up literally up on top of this huge cliff, and we were doing rappelling off the cliff. And I'll never forget, I had these two twins. They were sisters, and one of the sisters is out on the edge of the rock. Like, the rappelling guide is hooking her up and he's giving her all the instructions, and all the other kids, I'm sitting with all of them up against kind of this big boulder way far away from the edge. And we're watching her. She's one of the first ones to go. And we're watching her as the instructor's telling her what to do. And she's like, I don't know. And he's like, you just need to lean back. Just trust the rope. Trust your gear. Trust everything that I've taught you. And she's screaming. She's yelling. And I'm like, I'm yelling, Danielle, you can do it. You can do it. You know? And I look over at her sister. I'm like, she's going to do this. You know that? She's going to do it. And I'll never forget what her sister said to me, because her sister leaned over to me, and what her sister said, she said, Kent, if my sister dies, I'm going to sue you for everything you're worth. And all I can think is, you have no clue what youth pastors make. Because I was worth nothing. It took her finally saying, her sister finally said, I'm going over the edge. I don't know if this rope's going to support me. I don't know if what I'm about to do is going to work or not, but I have to trust it. I have to step over the edge. Mary and Joseph stepped over the edge. I don't know if you've ever considered that about the Christmas story, but they stepped over the edge. And I guess my question for you today is, what about you? What will it take? What will it take for you to go all in with Jesus? Some of you have been holding back. Some of you need to take a deeper step with Jesus towards growing in ministry and taking on leadership roles and taking on a servant leadership. Some of you just need to simply follow Jesus for the first time, and you need to make a commitment to him because he came to give you salvation, to free you from your sins, to rectify the hell that's in your life and the hell that you're moving towards in eternity, and to give you salvation from that. He came for that. And you need to just step into it. You need to just say, I am all in, Jesus. Some of you need to step in, and God's calling you to a new ministry. God's calling you to a new job. There's something that God's calling you to, and you felt it in your heart. God's calling you to go deeper with your family and to care more about your kids and to care more about your wife and spend more time with your husband. God's calling you to it. And it's, the question is, are you going to go all in? See, Mary and Joseph, they went all in. Mary and Joseph were willing to go over the edge, not knowing if they could 100%, they didn't know. They didn't know if they could 100% trust everything that was going to happen, but they trusted anyway. I'm telling you, God doesn't give you, he doesn't give you the full plan ahead of time. What God gives you is himself, and he gives you the promise that he's going to walk through it with you. Listen, in just a moment, we're going to break up. Anthony's going to come up with the band. We're going to sing a worship song. And just during this worship time, I want to invite you to do a couple things. One, I want to invite you to go to communion and just partake of communion, for you to just spend some time with Jesus. This is one of my favorite points in our service because it's the moment where you get to go back to Jesus. It's not about what I do. It's not about what happens on the stage. It's about you and Jesus and you doing some business with him. But some of you need to pull out. There's a next steps card in front of you in the chair. Some of you need to pull that out and you need to make a decision to follow Jesus today. You need to say, I'm ready to follow you. And some of you need to write down a prayer request. Man, would you guys start to pray for me? Because I feel God calling me to X, Y, and Z. And I feel him calling me to start a Bible study at work. I feel him calling me to take my next step at a different job. And you put that down and we'll start praying for you. I don't know what your next step is, but I know during the song, all of us need to be doing some business with God. And I invite you during the song to just take some time to do that business with God. Go partake of communion. If you need to come up here and pray, there'll be folks along the front that you can pray. And I'm going to get my big head off this screen and let you guys spend some time with Jesus. I love you guys. I miss you. Thank you for understanding that I'm trying to really honor and care for my wife's heart by being here. And I hope that God has really worked in your life today to help draw you in and say, you too can be all in. Love you guys. Let's stand and worship.